So, this morning, we're going to talk about models for theological education for the workplace, number two. These are the models that are other than the classes in the seminaries. Actually, we put down LT and L to moderate, but I think LT will be doing the spiritual formation part. All right, and do you want to moderate, or I can carry on?
Yeah, it's fine. I think we're both gonna. He was gonna make the primary comments, but I was gonna share a little bit about.
All right. Okay. So maybe what we'll do is we'll look at some of the things that are listed down there are like peer groups, Bible studies, churches, TEE, and spiritual formation, and. Today I've actually asked Dr. Lim Kai Yong, who's from the PJEFC, he's pastoring there and he's also involved in Christian education. I thought it would be interesting to see from a perspective of a church how they are planning to do education. And after that, perhaps Laiwei, you can share something on workplace, Alpha Workplace. All right. Okay, over to you.
Good morning. Okay, I'll just share a little bit of our experience in BJEFC, a church that I've been with for more than 20 years. And now that I'm back into pastoral ministry, and so some of these issues surface again, and we are wrestling through how to incorporate marketplace ministry of theology of work into a much more formal Christian education curriculum. But let me start with what we have at the moment and where we are as a church. And that will give you a glimpse of where I'm coming from. Now, if you talk about my church, BJEFC, it is a very resourceful church. A church of 600 congregation, and if you look at it, there are 6 theological educators in the church. 2 with PhD, Kam Wing in systematic theology, and myself in New Testament. And then we have 3 others with MTH in missiology in Old Testament, and 1 MA in leadership. Now, with such a pool of resources, 6 of us, for 600 congregation, every 100 we have a theological educator. You look at the ratio. And not only we have the resources, we also have a rather well-defined Christian education framework. And I'm actually in the midst of revising this. This was done a number of years ago and needs to go through some revision to keep up with the challenges and the changing of times. I have a few copies, probably 4 or 5 that's left. If any one of you are keen, you can pick it up. Now, in our Christian education and development framework, this is what we say. In line with the church vision of empowering generations for global reach, the main goal of BJEFC's Christian education and development ministry is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. To accomplish this, this ministry has designed this framework for the congregation to, first of all, nurture and develop you towards maturity in Christ, and secondly, equip you for effective service in both the church and the marketplace. You see, the marketplace is explicitly mentioned in our framework. And further on, in part of the curriculum, we have one whole section where we have Christians in the marketplace, where we deal with work, vocation and calling, wealth and stewardship, ethics and contemporary issues. So these are all in our framework. It's nice there's something in the framework, but how do we fare? I asked one of my interns in the church to go through all our records for the last 11 years, starting from the year 2002 until last year, to see how we fare, how do we measure up to this framework and to the resources that we have. And I've actually emailed this to Philip, and it will be made available to you all. A little small. First of all, we look at Sunday pulpit. Are there explicit Sunday pulpit messages that deal with workplace issues generally? out of the, and then I look at the Christian education. For the last 11 years, what have we done in terms of equipping the people for the workplace? And this is what we have, rather pathetic compared to the framework. And what do we have? 12 sermons in 11 years, and they're often preached by the laity. And we have only 4 Christian education classes over the period of 11 years that deal with marketplace issues. And if you look at it, most of them are actually being done by the laity. I use the word laity. And where are the theologians and the clergy in giving biblical and theological input for marketplace or theology of work? So this is where we are. And much of our Christian education program that deals with theology of work is unplanned and sporadic at best. And if someone is available, we grab the person, can you do something on this? And so it's not something that is systematically thought out, and there is a clear lack of emphasis on theology of work, despite the framework that we have and the resources that we have. What are some of the challenges we face in moving this forward? We have the usual evangelical problem. The attitudes toward theologians and theological education is always viewed with suspect. In my church, I've heard far more sermons that bash theologians, and I've not even heard one that affirm the theologians. And in the evangelical circles, the wider evangelical circles, we do have pastors that have not even gone through theological training. Okay. We also have a clergy issue. And I deal with, I've been involved in theological education for the last more than 10 years, and journey with a number of pastors before. And the issue that came out, why is it that there is no marketplace ministry of theology or work within the church? Fear, insecurity, the feeling of being inadequate. And this is where we talk about for the last couple of days, where we compartmentalize. The clergy do their own thing, the laity do their own thing, and we never really connect. The practitioner and the clergy slash theologian slash scholars never really sit down on the round table and work together. We also have the congregational issue, taking priesthood of all believers to the extreme. Why do we need a biblical reflection? God spoke to me enough, you know. And at one time, in a particular church that I preached in, I used the word theology, and I was pulled aside by the leader of the church, and I was asked, why do you use a dirty word on the pulpit? And then as part of our own church, our Christian education program competes with many other training courses. The family ministry, you want to do parenting, family. Missions always come strong and big. I'm going to organize a course, out you go. You know, missions always take priority. And so we still do not have a comprehensive framework where everybody sits together. The Christian education is viewed as a holistic ministry of the church. Everything is fragmented. Right. Now, what is the way forward for us? I'll just put down 4 pointers just for us to reflect as a local church and also as a theological educator. So I'm wearing 2 hats here. I think as a church, which is I'm actually reflecting and thinking through now, there should be an intentional holistic Christian education framework and pulpit that specifically address some of the issues. We have seen some of the models yesterday, so I'm not going to go into detail. The only thing that we felt we should start is not when people are working. We should start with people that's in the college group, and that is where I'm starting. That we actually introduce the whole theology of work. What is work? Why is it that work matters to God? Right at the college group. Don't start when they start working. It's a bit too late. And that is just a point to add on to what we have discussed yesterday. Secondly, we talked about theological education yesterday. One of the things that in our context here, Mark and I, we have been in conversation. The problem is not that we do not have resources to teach theology of work. In fact, we have offered, both MBS and STM have offered classes on that, but where are the who are the takers? We hardly had any response. Okay, I'll talk a bit about that. I also think that when we talk about theology of work, perhaps all the seminaries need to come together, and perhaps instead of each doing their own, we might join effort together and join offer perhaps a theology of work concentration or courses like this. So we're actually pooling all our resources together and also pooling all the people, the constituents of each seminary. Then perhaps we have a larger pool that it might be much more feasible than MBS would do it, SDM would do it, BCM or MBTS would do their own things. Perhaps we need to sit down and work together. And we have done that for with Malaysian Care, where we did the social concern program. We had a certificate in social concern, and we did it in collaboration with Malaysian Care, Bible College Malaysia, and SGM. And such model can be replicated for some of this. And I think I'll talk about Gordon Conwell and Mockler Center yesterday. I was in Gordon Conwell back in the 90s when Pete Hammond started the Mockler Center, and I was a part of it. And one of the critiques that I gave at that time is that the theology of work seems to me address the issue of the white collar people. We don't address the blue collar folks. There is no mention of caring for the poor. Now, if I am a factory worker, what does corruption got to do with me? What has globalization got to do with me? I sit in front of the machine as a factory worker. My job is just to stand something and the assembly line goes on. That's what I'm doing. Is there value in work such as this? And I also don't see a theology of work that address how a boss should treat the employee. More so in our context where we have domestic workers at home. How do we treat our domestic workers? How do we treat our construction workers? Is there a theology that would address some of this injustice that is reflected in our context? What about the accommodation that's provided for our laborers who are involved in construction field? I was in construction, I was in real estate, I know what I'm seeing. And I find this to be lacking, and I like to suggest that a theology of work that I use word glorifies the needs of the white collar workers and neglects the blue collar workers is deficient and needs correction. And I've been hearing the discussion for the last couple of days is that it focuses on the needs of white collar worker, and I think we need a balance on this issue here. Moving forward again, I think there's also a need for the partnership between the local seminaries and the church. We talk about seminary courses, where I suggested that perhaps we need closer collaboration. And I also think that we need another level which has been suggested. You know, you have the seminary level. You have a lot of books that talk about experience and stories. And sometimes I wonder the theology of work has been used by certain quarters to as part of a prosperity gospel. We all hear success stories, you know, and that's lack of theological and biblical reflection. We glorify the Daniels in our midst, the Josephs in our midst, you know. And I think what is needed is also what I call between the pew and the seminary level. A level up from the pew, a level down from the seminary, meet halfway. And that's where I think Mark talked about having a one-day seminars and things like that. I think that would be something that would be helpful. Now, moving forward, perhaps we also need to think about publication. And I love the theology of work commentary of the Bible. And I and in our table, I ask the question, can that be extended? Can we extend it and put in Asian reflections to it as well that address specific issues for our needs here? And can there be collaboration where Asians would write for Asians as well? Collaboration between scholars and practitioners. Now, one of the little projects that I was involved in is this Law and the Bible project, Justice, Mercy, and Legal Institutions. This will be published by IVP and should be out sometime in October. So those of you who are interested, you can pick it up. Now, what this project did was, it was a collaboration between a law professor and a theologian. What they did is each one of us is assigned an article to write from the biblical perspective. That means starting from Genesis all the way to Revelation. So every essay will be paired up by a law professor and a theologian. What does the Pentateuch say about civil law today? So you have a commentary by a law professor and an Old Testament scholar. So throughout this whole project, this is what it is. And I contribute an article on law and the Bible from Pauline perspective. So I work with a law professor from Stanford University, and we jointly contributed an article. And what does Paul address contemporary issues? And so this is a little project. It's deal with law and civil law today. And it can be a resource handbook for us and how, as we wrestle some of these issues. So can there be a collaboration where we can use this as a model and talk about issue of justice, talk about issue of poverty, and so on from the scripture, where we can join collaboration between the practitioner and also a theologian / scholar. And I think that would be something that is really needful for us. And it's something that can be done by Asians for Asians, because we live in this world, we know the context that we are in. So this is some of my reflection as a theological educator and also a pastor, and also I'm in charge of Christian education. Okay, thank you.
Are there any questions? Yes, over there.
Between the missions, ministries, and also your work.
You want to use like that? Your name is like that.
Kayong seems to be talking about a fight in, sorry I used the word fight, in between the mission ministry as versus the education on the theology of work in terms of resources and as well as attention also. In that sense, when we are developing the syllabus, the scope of our teaching the theology of our work, should we not also include inside the syllabus as part of our syllabus on the theology of mission or missionology? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. That is what I'm trying to do for to move forward. I think as a church, as far as my church is concerned, all the various ministries are actually fragmented. The youth do their own thing, the young adults do their own thing, the family do their own thing, the seniors do their own thing, the men do their own thing, but we never sit together and think through what are some of our training needs and what are some of our needs for Christian education. And I'm suggesting that all the various ministry heads should sit together and let us work together. And rather than to just think of our own little box, we need to think in a bigger picture. And that's what I'm trying to do to move forward. Yeah.
If I could say, we would certainly welcome Asian perspectives on everything that's in the Theology Work Project. And in fact, one of the things I didn't emphasize yesterday is that every article at the end has a place for comment. And we invite comments, and I think it would be great if we could get people actively saying, this is the way you look at it from the West, but here's the way we look at it, and fill that out, and it would be a great contribution.
Thanks, Al. And one of the things we talk about was, if I may just mention what Sabah Seminary has done, and part of what I consider their theology of work, part of their training in the seminary is to include an agricultural project where pastors, because they're training pastors for the rural area, and if you're pastors in a rural area, the concern is how do you grow, how do you plant vegetables, your animal farm, so that you can also provide tools for the villagers to have something more sustainable. And this is what Sabah Seminary is doing, teaching their pastors skills in agriculture, and that itself is work.
I think Kimka has something to share. I asked her to share.
In Singapore, we did a similar book, Law and Justice, Biblical Perspectives. I co-edited it with an ethicist from Trinity Theological College, where we also had theologians and law profs to look at these issues together. So I think, it's published by TTC, so if anyone's interested in it, maybe check the Trinity Theological College website and see if you can get it through that that way. And also just a comment about the missions and theology of work. I mean, I'm a missiologist. I just don't see that there's a distinction between missions and theology of work. And like you say, there's so much more that needs to be done about integration. And I think it comes to us. I mean, let's do it and then let them come along. You know, let's start the trend.
Good. Thanks.
I think the important thing with respect to theology of work is all these things are good, but I think we have to engage the practitioners. Okay, the reason why many people are not there is that all these theologies of work may be deemed to be very exoteric, you know. So what we want to do is to engage three parties, the theologians, the pastors, and the practitioners, and say, how can we clean up the marketplace? Okay? In other words, we're going to engage the captains of industry who are Christians and who are determined to say, look, let's create an environment where my company, your company, our companies are places where there will be no corruption. And we advertise that so that the young professionals who are coming out will say that, look, at least if I'm an engineer, I go to Nehemiah, and so on and so forth. And then, as this movement gathers strength, all things being equal, I would rather do business with someone who doesn't ask for a bribe or are not corrupt. And when we see, actually, theology making a difference, then people will come. And I think that we need to work very hard on this. And I think Daniel Ho of DUMC is seeking to do this, working with companies and so on, and Mark in Transparency International are also doing this. So by and by, you know, this movement in which there's zero corruption, and then we find that it is spearheaded, thought through, reflected by Christian theologians, then I think we'll make a real difference.
Since you mentioned UMC, maybe I should say something. I head up the Marketplace Ministry there. We recently had a conference. We had Graham Powell who came by, spoke on unashamedly ethical. And we have a group of high-power businessmen represented from different churches. We invited them to sign a pledge of no corruption, that they will not give bribes, they will not receive bribes, they will not solicit, and to lead their company ethically. So we set them as an example on the stage, and they signed publicly. But Paul Lau was there to receive those documents as well. And as a church, on a Sunday morning, that morning itself, we asked the whole church, those who are ready to sign personal integrity pledge, that they'll live their life ethically. So starting, whoever wants to sign, we give them forms. So about 30% of the people sign up the forms. So it's a congregation of 3,005, so it's quite a large number. So it's a start, just to encourage you.
Okay, that's all very encouraging. Can I say that I think the agenda is much broader than corruption? That I think what we don't want to do, corruption obviously matters a lot, but I think what we're talking about here is the whole spread. And I think Kayong's point, what difference does corruption make to the factory work on the shop floor? And I think his point about accommodation for foreign workers is, you know, so I think the agenda we shouldn't get too bound up with something. There are actually quite a lot of people working in this area, and I think the Christian community has a strong role to play. But I'd really like to see the theological agenda broaden right out, so that it deals with much more immediate, impactful issues like fair pay, time off, how you treat your maids. Quite a lot of Christian households have maids and they're treated like slaves. Dignity of people, all these other things. And I think as a church, what we have is a lot more to offer. And I think there's only we can do that as a church. But I think Tony's point about engaging with people is right as well. And I think one thing that we did in the early stages back in 2009 was we did a bit of a market research just to ask people what were they interested in. Very small scale, but that gave us some kind of direction. Maybe that's something else we can do as the churches to think about that.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Now, I'd like to ask also... one comment? Okay.
One more question. I appreciate the discussions that are going on here about UR. One thing I do want to comment is that I think most of our assumptions about work, we assume that we are operating under a capitalist system. In Sabah, it is not entirely true because in the interior, we have people who operate under a patron-client system. And it is a very totally different understanding of economics, of how people function in terms of work, how people give and receive money, whereas capitalism assumes an equal interest in both self parties that will benefit each other in exchange. And in large part, a lot of Southeast Asia still has a lot of these patron-client relationships. Like for example, in Indonesia, in Laos, many parts of interior of Southeast Asia as well. So I think if we want to talk about the theology of work, we also need to locate them within the specific context of how, I mean, we talk about world theological worldviews, right? People also have a monetary, financial, economic worldview as well. And in many cases, it's not philosophy that drives people to make decisions. It's actually economic decisions that drive people to make decisions. And then their worldview is based on that. So I hope that in this regional consultation, we keep in mind those dynamics. I mean, especially in KK, we have those kampung interior people that come to the city, they operate a patron-client relationship, so they expect the person on top to give stuff to them. That's the relationship, whereas the city people, well, we assume everybody's equal, so you should put some money in if you want to do something, and so on and so forth, and it doesn't work that way. So it just orders different kinds of relationship in terms of labor and so forth also.
Okay, thank you. Now, we want to give Lai Wei brief time to share a bit about Alpha. From, you're talking about peer groups, or they're also part of the marketplace group. So, how long will you take? About 5 minutes? Okay, all right.
Good morning. I just quickly walk you through, because I think most of you know about Alpha Ministry. Okay, brilliant. Yeah. So that's the tagline where we have, anywhere you work, Alpha works. And as the Greek word suggests, it's Alpha. It's just the beginning. And we work on the beginning aspect. This whole approach of doing Alpha in the workplace all started within the church and is taken out of the church to begin engaging in the workplace. So the tool is the same, just the expression varies. So I'll just quickly walk you through this and share it with you. The video needs to... I'm not sure. You already know this. There's a meal, there's a talk, there's a small group discussion. We recognize that where we are in this context, this small group discussion becomes vital. Our friends want to ask questions, want to see the relevance of it, and therefore having a small group allows for that to surface. And of course, in a nation context, meal will be key, and then a talk in the whole basis, the framework for the small group discussion. And again, we go down this path where the whole acronym of Alpha, and taking it from scripture, John 3:16, anyone can come, whosoever thing. And then we go through this whole process of having our friends connect and interact with us, that whole thinking. Now, we work hard on saying, and in our training, we want folks to belong, and in the process belong, they then like hanging around with the Lord, the whole belief system start to take place, the worldview forms, and that should alter their behavior. So that's the thinking rather than the reverse. And we work hard on saying that's how we're going to do it. So in the Alpha workplace, we target a groups, and if we're relating with different groups, we want to be able to make sure they feel at home and connect and go forward with us. You already know this video, so. Yeah. No worries, go on there. Okay? It gives them the big opportunity to explore this, and we find that our young people are actually wanting to sit and ask these questions. And these questions are very real to them, and how does it connect into today? And discussing amongst their friends, they start to find answers together. So give them an opportunity to do that, and this is what the Alpha Course is. It starts with the person of Christ. It ends with this whole topic where workplace comes in, thinking is, how can I make the most of the rest of my life? So that's where we posture this and start to think, it is not good enough just to become a CEO of a multinational company, and that's all you aim for in your life. And so we walk them through that whole process and think through. So the gospel, here they come into a relationship, we talk about how to connect with God, an encounter weekend, and then after the whole area of service. So that's the whole range of Alpha Course. And again, we design it just for the person to run it. It's a lay person. So we empower the lay person, and we want the lay person to get up from the pew and engage. So it is not in the training, it's done simply so that at that level you can connect and work with. Now, and this is the whole range of all that we have. The idea behind this is that you learn one tool, and from one tool you go out and connect, except for the family series, of course, where it's going great on parenting. Again, the whole posture here is that we do it for ourselves, we also do it for our community and engage with our community. This is how we divide our time. The guests will come within 1 hour, we eat, we listen to the talk, small group discussion, and within 1 hour you're back at work. And then we mentioned to the pastors that this is done over lunch hour, so it doesn't eat into your other evening sessions. It allows you, because you've got to eat anyway, so why don't you use this opportunity, eat with your friends, flip up the laptop and off you go. And in our Malaysian side, it's very easy to go off to a mall, use a laptop, sit around four with your friends, go to Starbucks, put on this thing, you stick it all in your ears, the headset, you can munch the sandwich while you're in Starbucks, that's what young people like to, and then you can begin your discussion after the talk. So this whole flexibility and allow you to run around to interact. These are the different sites which are now doing Alpha in the workplace. From the conference we launched, which you will see in a while's time, right from KK, now we're targeting Penang. We're praying that by Penang, end of this year, we'll have 50 sites up and running, and it's going in some direction there. Okay, and these are the other work sites and their brands. Okay, this is the 1 year discipleship, workplace discipleship making process that we talked about. So let me just show you what this looks like. We wanted to look at a tool that allows the lay people to be empowered such that it's repeatable, it's scalable, and it's transferable. So that when they use it, they come to a place of confidence that they can engage and again introduce Christ to their friends, and from there begin at that level of begin basic discipling. And then it's scalable if they go bigger groups, like what ExxonMobil has done. They've gone to 11 countries around the world now, using the whole Alpha platform. It's again something they can pass on, because they know what happens in their organization will happen somewhere else, and then transferable. We do it in such a way that after some time, we pass on the training materials, and the folks that you see with us, only Melissa and myself, we are working in Alpha Malaysia. The rest are really our dear friends who come, and they're all business entrepreneurs, and they are being empowered to go out and train other people in the workplace so that they can go ahead and keep running and keep doing this. So we're saying it's and this is the whole range of things this year we're introducing into the workplace, and this is the concept where we start off with Alpha, midway through we do another Alpha. The idea is this time, first time I do, you watch. Now having finished that, then they can take on another material, God at Work material, where it's really a testimonial approach, stories telling. And we have it all on DVD on the website and materials to run it. Basically, just to show what happens when God comes to work with you. Then, having finished the Alpha second time around, you can then choose one of the few things, taking your soul to work, which you think is a great material. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit in a workplace context and very real examples in there. short, crisp, we like it. Then there's all this Christian lifestyle where we start to do a paradigm shift, counterculture thinking, and that again is video-based. And then the last one is confidential ministry. This is new to us, we're introducing this. We have the understanding that we help the workplace get their monies together. Then John Wesley's thinking of save all you can, spend, give all you can, all that can will start to happen because we'll now have disposable income. And maybe from this program, we will now have money to finance the seminarians because we need to expand. So the idea is to manage this correctly and go forward. So this year, we're introducing that aspect to this. You will know we have five dimensions we need to look at. And we're just looking in Malaysia, just this two. This comes from Isaiah 61. Nikki Gumbel, at this understanding, we want to touch lives, relationships with family, and then leadership platform. Leadership means we just want to give tools away, such that, again, using the alpha format of food, talk, small group discussion, we begin to cross-pollinate ideas and share that way. Okay, this is a bit of promotion. So what this year's conference we started to do, we recognize that pastors are very key to the whole leadership in church is vital. So we started this year a leaders pastors track. So we've invited pastors to come in Penang and we hope to continue this going forward. And as I said, mentioned yesterday, we hope next year, and if some of you would come, we would love to begin the dialogue with pastors, theologian, practitioners, that which Tony has mentioned. On that one track, we work through this. Next year, one of the thinking we're thinking of doing is the theology of work. When next week Al finishes that 10-week program for us, we'll let you know. We want to introduce that handles and give it to the pastors in next year's conference. So they will have a tool to go back and intentionally in church teach this aspect of it and then work it through. And so that's one key area. So if you come next year, we're thinking to do it in July, so if you'd like to book out your calendar, cancel everything else and come for that session, I would love to have you in Grace Assembly and come along. I hear you about financial challenges. Please, let's have a chat with Philip and we can work that out later on. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah.